Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It is good to be here with you at Great Lakes again. It seems like it's been a little while. I think the last I was here was for it was a fall conference. I'm not sure how many years ago that was, but it is good to be back. And I really enjoyed the service. Sang about the faithfulness of God, and that's what brings us together, isn't it? The greatest gift we sang about was a gift of salvation, and I praise God for his work in our lives, and that's why we're here this morning, is to be encouraged in our walk and to worship the one who is worthy. Also bring greetings from Lakeview, and you know you're always welcome there. A few of you have been through the area and have stopped in, but please feel free to do that anytime. I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians 4 for a message this morning. I would like to read this whole chapter and consider the subject of unity. Now, I do not bring this subject this morning because I feel like you have a need of it. I sense a unified body here. But I was just extremely inspired by the beauty of unity that comes out in this chapter, and we're just going to explore this subject this morning. I've titled the message, One in Christ. Let's begin reading Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Unity is probably one of the biggest needs in the body of Christ. Excuse me. Many of us have probably heard the phrase in our country, united we stand, divided we fall. I think the same is true in the church as well. I would like to point out some foundational principles for unity. I find these in verses 4 through 6. Number one, in Christ there is only one body. We see this in verse 4. There is one body. Romans 12:5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. One of the things we need to remember and think about often is the fact that in Christ we are one, because there's only one body and we are part of that body. And it does us good to stop and think about the implications of that. We are part of this body, and if we believe this, we will be careful how we treat the rest of the body. I try to protect my body from harm, right? I don't allow my left hand to go and cut my right hand because it inflicts pain through my whole body. And also I'd like to point out that the body of Christ goes beyond this small group of believers. It can be easy for us to think that different congregations are small bodies under Christ. And there's a sense that is true, because they work together. We work together as a unit there at Lakeview, and y'all work together as a unit here at Great Lakes. But I think we need to be careful to remember that in Christ there is one body, and that we are not the only ones a part of that body. This body includes all those who name the name of Christ, have been baptized into his body, and are following him in obedience and love. But this morning, to make this practical, I want us to think about the local body of believers that we relate to. Secondly, in Christ there is one Spirit, also found in verse 4. The fact that there is one body and one Spirit directing the body, we shouldn't have to talk about unity, should we? If we didn't have this carnal man within us, then no, we wouldn't need to talk about it. But there are other powers that are at work militating against the unified body. But if we are in Christ and our flesh is reckoned as dead, then this one Spirit in Christ can have its effects on our lives. I'd like to read a few verses from Romans. These verses are good verses speak about the flesh versus the Spirit. Romans 8 and verses 6 to 14. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Speaks of unity. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. These verses point out so well two controlling powers, the flesh and the spirit. And all who have the Spirit of Christ will live one way, and those who are dictated by the flesh will live another way. When Christ's Spirit is within the believer, it results in life and peace. It results in a unified way of life. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ should be like? And I really like verse 14, "For as many as are led by God's Spirit," that one Spirit in Christ, "they are the sons of God." They are the children of God. And later we will look at some of the practical outworking of that Spirit within. Number three, in Christ there is one hope. If we are all wanting to get to the same place, why wouldn't we be unified and help each other get there? Such a beautiful thought to think about, that one hope that we all anticipate. We are looking forward to the same heaven. We hope for the same happiness that is beyond the grave. There are a variety of hopes among the people in this world. Some hope for pleasure, others for honor, some for gain. But we all have this same prospect of the same inexhaustible joy. In Christ, there is one unified hope, and we all look for that hope. Number four, there's one Lord, referring to Christ. There ought to be unity in the body of Christ because we have one Lord, one Savior. There aren't different Saviors for different classes of people. One for the Jew and another for the Greek. One for the rich, another for the poor. One for the bond and another for the free. No, there is one Lord, one Savior, one Christ. And all are under Him, receiving direction from Him as the head. Number five, in Christ there is one faith. It is a faith in the gospel of Christ, and we know that there is only one Christ. This gospel of Christ is wrought in our hearts by the Spirit of God, and it's one in its nature and effects. Ephesians 4:13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." It's a faith that is alive and leads us closer and closer to the perfect man that God wants us to be. Number six, in Christ there's one baptism. Talks about that also here in Ephesians 4. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." See the oneness. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And number seven, one God and Father of all. I don't know if you noticed or not, but these verses bring out the Trinity. Verse 4 speaks of the Holy Spirit, which we looked at. Verse 5 talked about the Lord, speaking, I believe, of Christ. And then in verse 6, God the Father. This is not possible, but what would happen if the Trinity would not be unified? There would be chaos. Nothing would work the way it should. The oneness we see in the Trinity, the Godhead, I believe is a picture of what God wants to see in the church, His body. Each of our families are a unit because we have the same Father. This is one of the things that unifies the body of Christ. We have the same Father. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In Christ we are one, praise God. And I wouldn't want it any other way. Let's go down to verses 15 and 16. of Ephesians 4. In these verses, I see three different parts that I believe affect unity. And I believe that when these three parts are properly in place, we can be assured of unity. Number one, our union with Christ. Verse 16 talks about Christ, the head. Christ is the head of the body. And as we think of the subject of unity, I believe being connected to the head is first and foremost. We need that union with Christ. This union is essential to life, and when severed from him, we are dead. It'd be interesting to just read John 15 and think about Christ as being the vine and we the branches, and the effects of that. We don't have time to go there. I have a lot to cover yet. This union is essential for spiritual growth. It's essential for spiritual life, for fruit that God wants to see. Verse 15 says that we should grow up into him in all things. This union is also essential for perfection. It is important that every member has this union in Christ. The strongest need this union to the head as much as the weakest. Secondly, the other part I see here is our own selves, our individual selves. Verse 16 is referring back to verse 15, Christ the head, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The phrases every joint and every part, I believe, are referring to you and me. Each one of us must be careful to find and keep our fit position in the body. We must be careful to keep ourselves in a healthy condition for the sake of the whole body. One sick member affects the whole body, injures the whole body. We need to make sure we are growing as individuals for the sake of the whole body. This self-watch, if you want to call it that, will not be selfish, but rather we will see these things as our duty to Christ and also because of our relationship with the body as a whole. Thirdly, another part, our relationship with each other, which I mentioned there at the last. It says, joined together in that which every joint supplieth. With the help of Christ within us, we need to work well with all the other members of the body. We are to be joints. We can't imagine what our physical bodies would be like without joints. Nothing would give, nothing would work. And it's the same in the body of Christ. While we must keep our fit position in the body, we need to be able in love to be flexible. We need the oil of love applied to these joints where each one of us can influence the rest for good and make the body work well together. We strengthen the body. It becomes compacted when every individual finds a place of solidity and health in their own place. And as members, we are called to serve others. We need to give of ourselves to the rest of the body or it will suffer. We need to build each other up spiritually, bring comfort to them when they're ailing, encourage them to keep doing their best. This being joined together is where the rubber hits the road. It's where there tends to be the most friction. This is where we need the oil of love. So these are the three parts that I see. But I also see in verse 16 the results of these three parts functioning together. Number four, our compact unity as a church. When these three parts are in place and working well, we have unity. It's compacted and made one. It says the body edifying itself in love. Beautiful picture of unity. There's one body of Christ, and he is the head to that body. It's a living union, not just a professed unity. It's a body quickened by the effectual working of God's Spirit in every member. It's a growing body. It grows because of mutual edification It does not grow by being puffed up, but by being built up. It grows as a result of its own life in Christ. Because Jesus Christ, the head, lives, the body, the church, must live also. Are we a part of the body of Christ? Are we concerned to see it made perfect? Are we giving of ourselves as is expected of us from other members of the body? For the last part of the message, I would like to look at some practical ways to promote unity in the body of Christ. I find all of these in Ephesians 4. There's just so much packed in this chapter. I'm not going to near touch on everything, and maybe you'll think of more ways. But number one, serve the Lord with all humility of mind. In verse 1, Paul tells us that he is in bonds. He is a prisoner, and his liberty has been taken away, but he is writing to a group of people who are free, and people who have liberty, and since they have liberty in Christ and have been called to serve Christ, he admonishes them to walk worthy of their calling. And then he goes on into verse 2, and the first thing he mentions is a way to walk worthy of their calling is to be humble. He says, with all lowliness. One of the most outstanding and powerful character traits that will promote unity is humility, and probably one of the hardest too. And I know we all know what humility is, and we talk about it often, but I want us to think about this. Let's not brush it aside. I would like for us just to think about our own selves. Do we think we are something of ourselves? And I'm speaking to myself also. As we think about those who we relate to, do we look down upon others? Simply asking these questions to help us evaluate where we are in relation to this calling of humility and spirit of mind. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. True humility, when we can look at our brother or sister and esteem them better than myself. It's hard. It's not easy. We should do nothing to promote our own reputation. We need to prefer others before us. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Number two, suffer long with each other. This also is mentioned in verse 2 as being one of those things that is essential in walking worthy, and I believe very essential for unity. Do we know what it means to be long-suffering? The late Aaron Shank often said it's not long-suffering, it's long-suffering. And that is so true. Long-suffering means a lot, the same as patience, I guess you could say. And I came across a quote that says, patience is that calm and unruffled temper with which the good man bears the evils of life, whether they proceed from persons or things. We have so many opportunities to be long-suffering with each other. I do. And if you're like me, you do also. Offenses will come. People will make mistakes. And they may make repeated mistakes over and over again. Do we know what long-suffering is? Different people have different ways of planning things. And that doesn't mean that my ways are right and your ways are wrong. There are different ways and times of doing things. Some may be easily irritable when things don't get done a proper way. Long-suffering. Let's be a people who are not easily ruffled by the things others may or may not do. Christ is a beautiful example of long-suffering. He is so patient with us over and over again. Long-suffering will promote unity in the body. Number three, exercise our gifts for the edifying of the body. In verses 11 to 12, it mentions that we all have been given spiritual gifts. And the reason for these spiritual gifts is also mentioned here. In verse 11, it mentions some of the gifts in this church era. Today, we still have some of these gifts among us, and we have other gifts that are not mentioned here. Turn with me to Romans 12. In verses 4 to 18. And as I read these verses, think about all these duties that we are called to do. These are gifts that I believe should be developed in our lives. And I would like, these verses pretty much just speak for themselves. So, let's think about it as we read them together. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. God has given us giving gifts to fill in the body of Christ. And I believe he wants us to develop many other things as well for the best of the body, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Number four, speak peaceably. There are two verses that talk about our speech here in Ephesians 4. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Looking at verse 15, I noticed two things. Number one is that truth is to be spoken. The simple truth. Speaking the truth is the way to avoid error. And this is the way to preserve others from error. In opposition to all trickery and cunningness, fraud and deception, Christians are to speak the simple truth and nothing but the truth. Every statement which we make should be truth. I think we all know our own tendencies to being deceptive. It's still in us, in our flesh. But let's seek the truth. Love the truth. Promote the truth. Tell the truth. The second thing I see here is that truth should be spoken in love. There are other ways of speaking truth. It is sometimes spoken in a harsh or sour manner, which does nothing but hurt and offend others. When we speak truth to others, it should be with love to their souls and with a sincere desire to help them. When we admonish a brother of his faults, it should not be in a harsh manner, but in love. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So easy to become careless with our speech. And when we become careless, others get hurt. So I think what this verse means is that we need to choose our words wisely. Edify, minister grace. Number 5, exercise love and forgiveness. There are 3 verses that bring out this thought. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This thought of love and forgiveness is closely tied to being long-suffering. These verses bring out some of the evils that destroy relationships. Anger is something that we can easily harbor inside toward a person, and they'll eventually be able to detect it. And anger that is not taken care of leads to bitterness. But praise God, there's a better way. And I just love the picture that verse 22 gives. We speak to our children about being kind. We tend to think of it as an elementary trait. Share with him. Be kind to him. This kindness, this tenderness is something we need as adults as well. Human tendency is to be somewhat cold to each other. We tend to be individualistic in our thinking and forget sometimes that we are members one of another. I have my things to do. You have your things to do. And so we just easily find ourselves just doing our own thing. I know there's a place for that, but we need to reach out to those in our congregation. Help each other. Look for ways to be together and influence each other. Working together on projects, large or small. I love to hear about the youth getting together this week to pack Thanksgiving baskets. Look for ways to be together. It's a way to show love and care. It gives opportunities to share heart to heart. It helps us see life from another family's perspective. If families get together and help lift each other's burdens. When we sit at home and don't get together, it provides opportunities for us to become critical of others. When others are burdened, we become burdened and go help them. We are members one of another. When others rejoice, we rejoice with them. And when they are sorrowing, we need to do the same. Forgive as Christ forgives us. Have you thought about lately how much you have been forgiven? How much we have been forgiven? And yet sometimes we find it hard to forgive just one little offense. Christ loves the unlovely. He reaches out daily with love to you and me, even when we fail him so often. And lastly, number 6, press on to maturity. I would like to read verse 13 again. It's just a loaded verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that a tremendous calling? Is there any way we can become like Christ? More like Christ? Maybe I should say it that way. I think we all would agree that there's always room for growth. But Christ needs to be our model in our growth, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I feel like I just touched the surface this morning on this subject of unity. But I'd like to end with this thought that this verse brings out. As we think about being a member of Christ's body and what that requires of me and you, let's remember that Christ is that measuring stick. Let's not compare ourselves among ourselves. Let's compare ourselves with Christ and press on to perfection. Let's learn of Christ and then following him with all of our hearts and then follow him with all of our hearts, and I believe we will have a unified body. May God help us to find that oneness that he speaks about here, that oneness in Christ. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for many rich blessings that you pour upon us as your people. We confess this morning that we are needy people. We're not perfect beings. We still have so much room to grow, but we're so thankful that you are a God of mercy, a God of love. You are a faithful God who continues to call us to yourself, call us to perfection. You call us to model ourselves after you. Oh God, help us. Thank you so much for Jesus, for salvation, for life eternal. We're so thankful that you continue to reach out in love to us, even when we fail you. We're so thankful that we can be a part of the body of Christ, and that you are the head of the body. And we don't need to try to provide our own religion, find our own way of life to earn heaven, but we know that you have spelled it out in the scriptures, what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, and what you want that body to be. You want it to be one in love, in spirit, in faith. Help us, Father, to continue to grow in being what you want us to be as individuals within this body. Thank you for this group of believers here. Bless them for their faithfulness. Help them to continue to grow in their walk with you and their love for each other. We know that you will be glorified, and I'm so thankful for the way the community is being touched in this area. Bless them as they continue to reach out, that others would be pointed to the true light, Christ Jesus, and that many more would be brought into your fold. We ask your blessing on our day for your honor and for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.